In our daily Christian lives, we are to be learning how to rule. And there's many different aspects about that, and we certainly are to learn how to rule the world. We are going to. And what are some of the important issues of ruling and of ruling ourselves? How do we learn how to do this? Again, there are many different aspects and there are many different things, but today I'd like for us to take a look at one important aspect of rulership, especially the aspect of rulership of oneself. If you had to name what you considered as the most important attribute of rulership, what would it be? I believe that there are many important attributes of a ruler. However, I also do believe, personally, I do believe there is probably one most important attribute needed to rule. And that is this thing we call wisdom. You've probably all heard of it. Go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And let's begin reading in verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. In other words, don't leave understanding out. And as I've tried to teach in so many different situations with so many different people, there are three things that are very important when you understand, when you start talking about wisdom. This knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. They all go together, and you have to have them all. Verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor. This is talking about wisdom is going to bring you to honor when you do embrace her. Verse 9. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Wisdom, it says, will give us a crown of glory, therefore get wisdom. But the question keeps coming up. How? How do we do this? How do we really obtain wisdom? I'd like for us to see some things about how to obtain wisdom in this sermon today. So if you go with me to the book of James, I believe it's the place to start, or it's at least one of the places to start. In James chapter 1 and verse 1, James 1 and verse 1, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you find yourself not having wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. It says, go to God and ask God for it. That's where it starts. Asking God. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God and it will be given to him. What a fantastic verse. What a fantastic promise this is for us to know and to read and to come to understand. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. How do we start? How do we begin? Where's the place to begin? Go to God and ask God for it. We go to God and we ask. When we are asking God for wisdom, it's probably a really good idea for us to take a look at some examples in our own lives when wisdom was not there. I mean, I could stand up here and recite all kinds of examples. I'm not going to. You could do them in your life as well. I do believe that this would help us to learn. If we looked at situations where wisdom was lacking, then we put into practice what we have learned from these experiences. What was lacking? Why did it go in this particular way? Because we didn't have wisdom. And by studying those, that helps us to be able to understand. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15. And verse 31, Proverbs 15 and verse 31. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. How true that is. How true that is. The ear that hears the reproof, listens to it. You've probably all heard people say, well, you really don't understand this situation because you've never been involved in this. You've never done this particular thing. Therefore, you really can't understand it. Yes, we can. This is what this verse is telling us. This is what this verse is telling us. It says, the ear that hears the reproof of life, the reproof of life would be those examples, whether it's ours or someone else's. We don't have to go through a horrible situation to come to the conclusion that that's a horrible situation. We can learn it by experiencing it with other people having gone through it, by looking at their lives. And then it says in verse 31, it says, the ear that hears the reproof of life abides, lives among the wise. There's wisdom in that, in looking at examples, whether it's ours or someone else's. That's what this is telling us. So when we ask God for wisdom in this life, we do so so that we can be a better Christian for God now in our Christian lives today also. I started off by talking that we were going to be reigning and ruling, and we're going to need wisdom, but we need it now also. And to be a better Christian, to be a real Christian, we need wisdom in our lives now. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. This particular place we're going to also tells us that God is the one who gives wisdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26. For God gives to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he gives travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So it's very plain that it tells us God is the one who gives wisdom. That's the point. Now, I'd like for us to take a look at an example of an incredible life of an individual who had great wisdom. And where did he get it? He asked God for it. So let's see some things about the life of King Solomon. And let's go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. And we see the place where Solomon asks God for wisdom. And God grants it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. You probably remember this account. But let's read it in this context. Verse 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give you. Now, he's now the king. He's the son of David. David is no longer king. Solomon is now going to be the king over Israel. And God appears to him at night and says, Solomon, ask what you will that I will give to you. And Solomon said unto God, you have shown great mercy unto David my father, and have made me to reign in his place or in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let your promise unto David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Verse 10, give me now great riches, great wealth, that I can live a long, long time, that I'll be happy all the days of my life. Is that what he asked for? No, that's not what he asked for. And God was impressed with that also. Verse 10, give me now wisdom and knowledge so that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this, your people, that is so great? And God said unto Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of your enemies, nor yet have asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you to be king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you. And, God continues, I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before you, neither shall there any after you have the like. He says, Solomon, is no one is going to be like you. You've asked for wisdom. Wisdom is there. It is yours. Wisdom and knowledge is granted, is given unto you. You're also going to get this fantastic wealth and honor and all of these other things. Question that I think is really good for each one of us to ask ourselves, and that is, what would you have asked for? What would I have asked for? Well, after we know the account, we can say, oh, I'd ask for wisdom, because we know the answer now. But what if we had been in Solomon's place? And the answer is, I don't know. And that's what's really sad in some way, that we may not know. But we know the answer now. We would ask for wisdom. It is the principal thing. Now, having seen just these few things that we've seen, I have a few questions. Why do some people have awe and fear and respect for God? Some do and some don't. Why do some? Why are there some people who have awe and fear of God? Why do some people love God and respect Him? And as a result of this, what does God do for them? Does the Bible show us? And the answer is yes, it does. The Bible shows us what God does for those people who have this awe and fear of who God is and who love Him and respect Him and honor God and hold Him up. What does the Bible say that it does? What does it say that God does for those people? Let's go back to Proverbs again, chapter 2 this time. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom. If you will make your ears large, if you will have big ears, that you will hear what I tell you. That's what it is saying. That's the gist of this. And it would be, make your ears big so that you can hear. And you know what I'm talking about. If you cup your hands over your ears, you make them out bigger, you can hear better. This is in essence. This is what this is talking about. It says, if you make your ears big, that you can hear me, that you really want to hear, that you really incline yourself in that way to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you really apply this into your life, yes. If you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord. And then you shall find the knowledge of God. I read in the word then, it didn't say that, but you get the point. In verse 6, because the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Remember, I told you, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Three very important things, and they all go together. One is the facts. One is the cause and effect of the facts. And the other one is applying it into our lives. We begin to live this as a way of life. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Verse 7. God lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Here in verse 7, chapter 2 of Proverbs, in verse 7, it says sound wisdom. Many of the translations, modern and even ancient translations, just like the King James, use the phrase sound wisdom. Some use a couple of other phrases, but when you look the word up, when you look this phrase up, it all means a lot of the same thing. What is this? The phrase means something stable. It means that it is something that is real, something that can be substantiated. It's not fictitious. It's real. It doesn't mean real. It means success, victory, sound judgment, sound wisdom. Go back and read this again. Verse 6, for God gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Verse 7, God lays up sound wisdom. It's real. It's nothing fictitious. It is something that you can see, that you can substantiate that God is doing in the lives of the righteous. That's what it says. God gives wisdom. This comes from a Hebrew word, tushia. I'll spell the word for you. It's T-U-S-H-I-Y-A-H. You can look it up in the Strong's. A couple of different spellings. But it means that which is, or stability. It's real. God's going to give it real. Sound wisdom. Something that's real. This is what he's talking about. It is used 12 different times in the Old Testament, and it could be translated stability in all 12 places. And God will give stability. With this in mind, then go with me to one of the other occurrences where it talks about. Hold your place here in Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to come back to this in just a moment. But let's go to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, one of the minor prophets. Micah chapter 6 and verse 9. Micah 6 and verse 9. The Lord's voice cries unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see your name. Hear you the rod, and he who has appointed it. Now, this phrase, the man of wisdom, it could be stated, I'm not saying this is a definition, I'm saying for clarity's sake, for an understanding of it, the sense of it, very likely could also be everyone who has true stability. So we go back and read it again. The Lord's voice cries into the city, and everyone who has true stability shall see your name. Now, where does this come from? It comes from God. It comes from God. God gives wisdom. God gives this kind of wisdom. He gives stability. He gives sound wisdom to those who regard Him, who fear Him, who revere Him, who honor Him, who love Him. So we see that there are conditions. Back in James 3, it says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But it's going to be a person who knows God. It's going to be a person who loves God. It's going to be a person who is really trying to live the godly way of life, as opposed to his own way of life. And I want to get what I get. I want to get what I want out of this, and God give me wisdom so I'll know how to do it. No, that's not what he's talking about. So let's go back. You were holding your place in Proverbs chapter 2. Let's go back there. Verse 7 again says, he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. God lays up stability. The word stability could also just as easily be translated safety, but I think the word stability is probably a little clearer, but it could be that. God is the one who lays up stability for those who revere who God is, who know who God is, who love Him, who fear Him, who worship Him, who adore Him, who want to live His way of life. They stand in awe of who this great being is. Solomon is asked by God, and now we go back and see this situation again with Solomon. He goes, and God comes to him at night and says, okay, Solomon, David was your father and he was king. Now you're going to be king. What do you ask? What do you want me to give to you because you're the new king? And he said, give me wisdom, that I can rule your people, because who's going to be able to come in and go out before this great people? They're yours. Who's going to be able to do this unless we have this kind of real wisdom, sound wisdom, sound judgment, sound stability? And the answer is, no one. He was choosing to live a righteous way of life before God. I'm not looking at Solomon's rest of his life. That's not my point. I'm seeing what this means, what this is talking about, what God saw at that time, and what we see. So let's ask those same questions that we asked a few moments ago. Why do some have awe and fear of God? Why do some love God and respect Him? And then as a result of that, those who have awe and fear of God, those who love God and respect God, as a result of that, what does God do for those individuals? He gives them stability. He gives them sound judgment. He gives them sound wisdom. Okay, I want you to go with me now to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And let's read some verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Again, most of us are going to be familiar with most of this, but let's go back and read it in this context. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God of your fathers gives you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. So he says, there's a way of life. Moses is the one who's doing the speaking, who got the instruction from God. Moses is now passing this information on to Israel, and he's saying, there is a way of life. Do what these things that God is telling us to do. Live this way of life, and there's going to be these fantastic things. Don't add to the words. Don't take away from it. Verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. Now you can go back and look at that account. I'm not going to here, but it would be interesting to do so. Verse 4, but you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord your God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them. Keep the words. Do what it is that God has commanded us to do. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. It's going to give us wisdom. The way of life of God gives us wisdom. Others can even see it. They don't necessarily like the lifestyle, but they recognize that there's wisdom there if we live, or as we live, God's way of life, as we embrace it, as we love God, as we adore Him, as we stand in awe and fear and respect of who He is. Others can see it. They don't necessarily like how we got there, but they like what they see. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who has gone so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And the answer is none. In fact, there can't be, because there are no other gods. God is it, but it doesn't make any difference what we worship, what we want, whatever lifestyle we are wanting to project on our own self and then onto others. There is no one. This nation is so great because God is near. That's what makes a person, that's what makes a nation, that's what makes a family great. Verse 8, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I have set before you this day? And the answer is none. The answer is still none. Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life. but teach them unto your sons and to your sons' sons. Teach them to your children. Teach them to your grandchildren. Teach them, if you have opportunity, to your great-grandchildren. You teach this way of life, and in the process of doing this, keeping God's way of life, what did it tell us? This is your wisdom and your understanding. That word understanding there could also mean discernment. To be able to tell the right and the wrong. It's more than just understanding in our typical word of today. Oh, I understand this. It's more than the facts. It's much greater. It's being able to distinguish it and see the ins and outs of it. And that's what God gives to the person who lives God's way of life. So how do we get wisdom? The first thing is, we ask God for it. There's a whole lot of other things that obviously goes along with that first point. But as we ask God, because we're living the godly way of life, and we go to God, we ask Him for it, and He gives it. Well, let's see another way how to obtain wisdom. The second way that I have here is that we study God's Word for wisdom. In other words, we look into the Bible, we look in it, we need to look from the perspective of what we are to be doing in certain given situations. In other words, if you want to know, what do I do, how do I live this particular aspect in my life? You go to the Bible, you study it from the Word of God, this is how God would want me to live this. Then we start asking God for the wisdom to be able to put it into effect and into practice in our lives. And then as a result of it, we start living it. That's wisdom. So we need to learn why God does things the way He does. So we study the Word of God to find out. Well, God says do such and such. Okay, that's great. And we need to start, when we come across something in the pages of the Bible that God says, this is what I want you to do, we need to have our heart is what God wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And we start doing that to the very best of our abilities, but we also can start asking, the why does God do things this way? Why is this the right way, other than the fact that God is saying it's the right way, but the Bible shows us. Let me show you one thing of why we need to know that. Go to the book of Psalms 119. Psalm 119 and verse 105. There are several verses around this that you could read in this context, but I'm just pulling out the one verse. Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God. Brethren, the world is in darkness because they don't have the light of God. They don't have the wisdom of God. They don't have the knowledge of God. They don't have understanding of who and what is God and what He would want us to live, how He would want us to live. They don't have it. It's a description. It's not a criticism. I mean this as a description. We are to be that light. We are to be that light. Jesus makes a comment and says, you are the light of the world. How do we become the light of the world? By reflecting the wisdom of God. How would God want His people to live? We go to the Bible, we find out what it's supposed to be. This is the way God wants us to live. We start living that way of life, and that living that way of life is God's light shining in the world because we are reflecting the wisdom of God. Second Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Some of you probably have this as a memory verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Study. Study the Bible. Know what it says. Internalize it. Start living by it. So what do we see here in this verse, in verse 15? Here? What do we see here? Well, I see a lot of things, but I bring it down into three different points here. One is we study to be approved. A second thing is we see that we are to know what the message is. And a third thing is we are to know what principles are being taught. Study to show yourself approved. Workman is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Dividing the word of truth, it means looking at it, all of it, putting it all together. Let's go to James chapter 1. James 1 in verse 22. James 1 in verse 22. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's real easy to deceive ourselves and to think that we know what is right, when in reality we hadn't even really studied in the Word of God to find out what God has to say on it, which is where the real answers are. This tells us, be doers of the Word, not hearers only. In other words, it's telling us to be doers, not only hearers. Listening to the Word of God is great, but we also have to be doing it. We also have to be living it as a way of life. Living what we're learning. Living what we're learning. I think it's also good for us to read and learn through examples in the Old Testament and the book of Judges and Kings, and through the illustrations, examples of the nation of Israel. You know, in those stories, some things were done wrong and some things were done right. Not everything with Israel was wrong. Not everything with the judges was wrong. Not everything with the kings were wrong. Some were right and some were wrong. The fact is, we can learn from them all. The ear that hears the reproof of life, you remember that? Abides among the wise. We can study the examples that are recorded in the Bible. Sometimes they did it wrong, sometimes they did it right, and we can learn from both. We're here in James chapter 1 in verses 22 through 25. I'm not going to read all of those verses, but we are told not to be comparing ourselves with what we see in the mirror. You know, holding up the mirror and looking at ourselves. We're not to do that, but we are to be comparing ourselves to what we find in the Word of God. We are to be comparing ourselves with the life of Jesus Christ. How did He do this? How did He live this? The way that He lived, obviously, is the example, the way of doing it. And so we find that through studying what? The Bible, the Word of God. This can give us wisdom. A third way of how to get wisdom is through counsel. Go back to Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 1 this time. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. But it says a wise man is going to hear, not a hearer only, but he's going to hear, he's going to listen, and obviously he's going to increase in learning, and he's going to attain a lot of this through going to wise counsel. We have to be very cautious, and I'm not going to give any comments about, you know, what makes a person a wise counselor. But there are a lot of issues with that. Verse 7. Drop down and read verse 7. We're in Proverbs 1 in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it says a wise man in verse 5 will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsel. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That word could just as easily be translated as there is deliverance. There is victory. In the multitude of counselors, there is deliverance. There is safety. There is victory. That's wisdom in knowing that. See, that's the point. That's the point about this third one is seek wise counsel on what to do in a given situation. Let's go to Psalms, the book of Psalm 1 and verse 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Again, many of you will know this one. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. It's the first part of that verse that I'm really focusing on, because I said I'm not going to really go into a lot about what makes a person a wise counselor, but this verse tells us, without being the issue, he says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So where do we go for wise counsel? To those who are godly. For those who we would put our trust, our spiritual trust in, our knowledge and our understanding is going to come from somebody that we trust is going to show us out of the pages of the Bible. Brother, I would like to make the statement that whatever the situation is, get the best counsel that you can get for the need that you have. If you need mechanical work done on your car, get the best mechanic around. If you need spiritual counsel, go to the best person that you can, or persons, go to more than one. I mean, we say if you got, you know, even doctors will tell you, medical doctors will say, go get a second opinion. Because they understand there's counsel, you know, and giving that as counsel, there's wisdom in that. What if they've made a mistake? They haven't wanted to, but they understand that. So a minister should recognize that too. Check it out. Let's study it together. Let's find out. Let's see what the wisdom of this is, of this situation, out of the pages of the Bible together. That's wisdom. That's wise. Going to someone who you believe would help you to know the answers, to be able to know what the Bible is telling you. Get the best counsel that you need for the given situation, whether it be secular or whether it be spiritual. Let's go back to James again. James chapter 3 this time in verse 1. There's a warning here. My brethren, be not many masters. Could be teacher. Because knowing that we shall receive, the teachers, the masters, are going to receive a greater condemnation. That's what it says. Be not many masters or teachers. There are some who have decided on their own to be teachers. There are some who have decided that, well, I can set myself up in this situation. It's probably in a lot of those situations, so I didn't say in every situation, I said in a lot of those situations is showing a real lack of wisdom to do so. Now, having said that, we are all told that we are to be learning to be teachers. We're all to be learning how to be kings and priests in the family of God. But it's that self-appointed that I wonder about sometimes. Is that really wise? Be not many masters. That's what it says. There should be some kind of caution there. For us all to be learning to be teachers and kings and priests in the family of God, we've seen this takes wisdom. And we're going to be that. We're going to do that in the family of God. We're going to do that, and we need wisdom to be able to do that. Now let's go to the book of Job. Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. We're going to read several of these verses here, but let's start in verse 1. In Job 28 in verse 1. Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molded out of the stone. He sets an end to darkness and searches out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. He's talking about God. He's talking about that God is, you know, Job is the he. And God knows things. In verse 4, the flood breaks out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up. They are going away from man. I want to read all of these verses to get the context of what this is actually saying. Let's continue on in verse 5. As for the earth, out of it comes bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it has dust of gold. There is a path where no fowl knows, where the vulture's eye has not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. There are places that other things in the earth, in the world, don't know. He puts forth his hand upon the rock. He overturns the mountains by the roots. He cuts out rivers among the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. Verse 11, he binds the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid brings he forth to light. Verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Verse 13, man knows not. Man does not know the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten from gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. In other words, you can't compare the price. This is what he's saying. Verse 17, the gold and the crystal cannot equal it. An exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. How much are you going to pay for it? What's the price? No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then comes wisdom, verse 20 asks? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. We've heard about it. We've heard about it. God understands the way thereof. God knows wisdom. And he knows the place thereof. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven to make the weight from the winds, and he weighs the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it. Yes, he searched it out. Verse 28, and said unto man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Wisdom cannot be found, it says, in the sea or the ground or any of these things. That's what it says. Man does not know the price. But God just told us. The fear, the awe, the respect of God, that is wisdom. So let's go back where we started. Let's go back to Proverbs once again. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. How do we obtain wisdom? We ask God for it because we are living the godly way of life. We can ask for it, and He gives it. We study God's Word for it because it is recorded there how to live the godly way of life. How are we going to know how to live a particular way of life if we don't know what the answers are to the questions that we will have? Well, the questions are about how to live life are found in the pages of the Bible. And once we start living that as a way of life, we see wisdom from the Bible. And we seek wise counsel to learn wisdom. It comes from God with the fear of the Lord. As it says, that is wisdom. Brethren, please, we need to come to realize and we need to come to the place that we truly thank God that we have the God of all gods and His Son, Jesus Christ, training us and offering us wisdom now so that one day we will be kings and priests in the coming kingdom of God. That's why He's doing this. That's what He wants. He wants kings and priests who are wise. And that's what He's going to get. That's what He wants of us. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And now we will read the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you with wisdom. It is the principal thing.